Well, let me introduce these college students to you. Could you turn me down just a tad bit, please? Introduce these college students to you. Miss Sarah is the one who played the guitar. She is from Mountain View. And you had Miss McKenzie. She was on the piano. I called it a piano a while ago, and she kind of gave me a funny look. But she's from Central Arkansas. And then where's Sammy at? Sammy was on. There you all are. He was playing the bass. And then we had Wade on the drums, so y'all know him. So y'all get a chance to stop and talk to these college students before they leave tonight. And so we had a really good night to start off, our really good week, actually, to start off the college year. It was good. Great attendance. If y'all haven't noticed, college students are back, and it's I'm not sure what the Brother Ken could tell me in that building. I'm not a numbers guy, and they really don't affect me much, but I was Brother Doug came out of the room the other night, and I was sitting there waiting for other people to come in. He goes, "You don't have hardly any seats left." And I went, "What?" I didn't really believe him. And I walked in there, and there was a lot of college students. It made my heart happy. Look forward to them all summer to come back. And I needed that, to be honest with you. So how many of y'all like to have joy? Anybody in here like to have joy? Well, just a few of you. The rest of y'all must have been dealing with bifold closet doors, because there is nothing that will steal your joy faster than a bifold closet door. I have a complete hatred for bifold closet doors. My children will tell you that I am not a handyman when it comes to bifold closet doors. They fight with me. I fight with them. I'm not happy, and I lose my joy. And so if anybody knows how to do bifold closet doors and have any hints on how to take care of 30-year-old bifold closet doors, just come take them and burn them for me and put them up someplace else. But anyhow, I like to have joy in my life. Joy is something that we're supposed to have as Christians, right? And I've given the college students two words, and those that were here at the fish fry, I gave those two words to kind of hang on to for the semester and the year. And those were joy and gratitude. Those are two words that we need to have in our life. Joy and gratitude. For the past few weeks, I have lost my joy. Can I be honest with you? I've lost my joy the past couple of weeks. I've had people sent in my life that have tried to steal my joy, but I'm going to tell you what, I've had more people sent in my life that has given me joy. And I need those people in my life to come and give you hugs, come and uplift you just by their smiles, just by the people being around you. Joy is something that is contagious and something that we all need to give one another. And I'll give you a good definition of joy. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That's just a general definition. But he doesn't have this one on the screen because I changed a little bit for him tonight. But it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And here's one that you need to have as a Christian. It's a feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than who we are or what is happening around us. That's the kind of joy that I want to hold on to. It doesn't matter what's going on around me or what's happening internally or what somebody's trying to steal from me or not give me at a moment. What I have in Jesus, my identity in Him. I told the college students for the last couple of weeks, your identity in Jesus is what dictates your behavior. Wow. In those days that the joy is gone from my life, I forget who I am in Jesus. And my attitude and my behavior falters. Joy is something we have to have in our lives. Gratitude is a quality of feeling and being grateful and thankful. How many of y'all have an attitude of gratitude towards Jesus? I would hope everybody in this room raised your hand. That your attitude is just full of gratitude for what He's done for you, for the grace that He has given you, that He's poured out on your life. Wow. Joy and gratitude. If you'll hold on to those two words throughout the rest of this week, throughout the rest of your life, you'll have a smile on your face because you'll be thinking about what Jesus has done for you, how He's changed your life. Because without Jesus, guess what? You're destined for hell. That's something to be sad about. With Jesus, you have a home in heaven. And that is something to be happy about. Man, my heart needs to be full of gratitude. My heart needs to be full of joy. And everything that's going on around me at any given moment in my life. Tonight we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, there is one constant throughout the Old Testament. One constant throughout the Old Testament. And that's Israel's disobedience. And God. Okay? When I say one constant, we know that Israel is disobedient, but there's always God. So don't take that away. All throughout the Old Testament, we see examples where the Lord gives commands. He tells them what to do, how to behave, and how to act, and when to do it. But the folly of His people, as they attempt to take their own path, always gets in the way of what God has for them. If they had just followed God, they wouldn't have gone into captivity. If they just followed God, they wouldn't be walking around in the desert. If they just followed God, you name it, their life would have been full of joy and gratitude. Instead of bitterness, we don't have anything to eat. All we got to eat is bread. Well, we need some meat. So God gave them. They were still not happy about it. They lost their joy. They lost their gratitude. And we see here in Nehemiah that this period of disobedience, of obedience for God's people, particular comes from Ezra and the reading of the book of the law to the people. You see, they had a practice of a thing that was the Feast of the Booths, and it had been neglected. The people, having just heard the books that we'll read here in just a little bit, the books of the law, and being confronted with their behavior that they have just forgotten, not doing what God wanted them to do, and the neglect they had and the violation of God's commands, they were moved to sorrow. Have you ever thought about that for just a second? Have you ever been moved to sorrow because of what God said to do and you just forgot, neglected, omitted it from your life? And you read in the Scripture of what you're supposed to be doing. Have you ever been moved to a place where, Lord, I can't take it. I'm just so sorrowful for what I was supposed to be doing, and I didn't do it. But this is a place that we find the people. They were confronted by Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites as they explained that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, in verse 8, it describes a perfect church meeting. A perfect one. It says they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what it was being read, helping the people understand each passage. And so that describes what we do when we come here. See, the people were all assembled to listen, to worship. The word was read, it was exalted. The preacher read and explained the words that the people could understand it. The people wept at hearing the word. They were overcome at the grief of their sins. But guess what? This was not to be a day of sorrow in the Scriptures that we'll read here in just a second. It's to be a day of rejoicing. And it's made very clear that it was supposed to be a day of rejoicing. So tonight, this is where I want you to place yourself. You know, we learned in seminary last year that when you read the Old Testament, you have to read it from the place of their understanding. They didn't have the whole counsel of the Bible. They didn't have the whole counsel of what Jesus had done. And so they couldn't go to that place. But here, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the nation of Israel. And when they read these Scriptures to them, place yourself in this setting, one where we find ourselves in constant disobedience. Because there's times in my life that I can find myself in constant disobedience. And I'm sure you can too. My brother Kelly, I don't do that. Yeah, there's times in our life that we do. One where the commands of God have not been followed. One where the word is read One where the word is understood. And one where we feel the weight of who we have become as His children. But here is the kicker. I want you to find yourself in this setting of one where we feel great rejoicing and joy. And so as we read these scriptures in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 17, I'll ask you, would you please stand as we read God's Word. Verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quietened all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now on the second day, of the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel would dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they would announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring your olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in their courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the sons of Nun, until that day, children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Brother Dale, would you pray for us, please? Amen. You may be seated. You know, I told the college students when we first started, there's a quote, and I don't remember exactly who it was that said it, but it says, if you want your dreams to come true, don't oversleep. I mean, that's true, right? If you want your dreams to come true, don't oversleep. You've got to actually get up and do something about it. And that's where we find ourselves with the nation of Israel. They needed to get back into what God wanted them to do. And they were directed to go get the branches and observe this feast and do everything that was needed to go with that. In verse 9, we see that Nehemiah told them, don't mourn or weep for such a day as this. Don't mourn or weep because you have been given the word and you found out that you were supposed to be doing this and you're not. He said, don't weep. Why is that? Because it's great to know that God never is going to give up on us. We may not be doing everything that God wants us to do at all times as Christians, but God never gives up on us. We can always follow His commands. We can always do the things that He wants us to do. And I find great comfort in that, that my God never gives up on me. You see, the reason that people give up so fast is because they tend to look at how far they still have to go instead of how far they have come. If I have to look and see how far I've still got to go in my walk with Jesus, I might get disappointed in this world that I live in. But I don't have to. I don't have to look to see how far I've got to go. All I got to do is look and see where Jesus is and follow Him. That's something that we all need to do. Is look and see where Jesus is and follow Him. They were told, don't mourn or weep for such a day as this, because it's the day that they found out they could still follow God and still do what He wanted to do. In verse 10, he says this, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with the feast, rich foods, and share your gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. For this is a sacred day before the Lord. He said, don't be dejected. Don't be sad. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We've heard that so much, haven't we? That the joy of the Lord is our strength. You probably got that written on a wall somewhere, highlighted in your Bible. Do you believe it? That the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, a while ago when I said that my joy gets taken sometimes, I forget the strength that I need, the strength that I'm supposed to have. I'm living in my strength at that moment. I need God's strength at all times in my life. We need to remember that when we are weak, the joy that comes from the Lord can, will be, and is our strength. Continually. It doesn't go away. The Levites in verse 11 told them to quiet, to be hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. And in verse 12 we see that the people went away. The people went away. They didn't just go away sad. They didn't go away because they didn't feel anything. They didn't go away because they hadn't met with Jesus. They didn't go away because nothing was going their way. What does it say? It says this. It says, so the people went away to celebrate with great joy. With great joy. Not just a little bit of joy, but with great joy. That joy that he just got through telling them, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that's what they used when they went to celebrate. I don't know what you use when you come to church, but that's what I want to use, is the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know what you use when you go out in your everyday life, but that's what I want to use, is the joy of the Lord is my strength. You see, the people went away. They were confronted. They had a choice. In the confrontation that they had between God and the Scriptures, God and their life, they had a choice to remain sad, to mourn and weep, or to be happy. And tonight you're confronted with something. It may be the fact that you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you have a choice. Tonight, you can either go away still separated from Him, or you can accept the gift that He has freely given of His self, His blood, His life, that He freely shares with each and every one of us. Or it may be that you're confronted with where you are in your Christian walk tonight, and you have a choice. You can either continue to hang on to bitterness, hang on to things that is happening in your own home. You can either continue to whatever it is, or you can let them go. And you can use the joy that the Lord gives you as strength. See, we're all confronted with something in our life. When God's Word is read to us, we are confronted with truth. We are confronted with Scripture. We are confronted with God's words. And it should do something to us. The nation of Israel, we're confronted. And they chose joy over bitterness because they were reminded that God is still God. They were reminded that God still sits on the throne. They were reminded that serving God is a whole lot better than not serving God. You know, when I talk about obedience, when I talk about those things that that we're supposed to be doing, I'm not talking about it in a way that we're serving God or obeying God because He is just hammering us. He's got His thumb on us and say, this is what you got to do. We do it out of a heart of love for Him. A heart of gratitude towards Him. See, those two words go hand in hand. The joy that He gives us and the gratitude that we repay back to Him. Man, I'm just going to tell you, looking at where these people are and sometimes where I find myself, And sometimes I need to go find me a leafy bush and build me a tent and just go stay out there and let God speak to me. Get away from everything else. Get away from everything that's rattling through my head, rattling through my heart, and just let God speak to me. Verse 17. We're going to read that one here in just a second. But I want to remind you that they understood God's words. God's words weren't something that were foreign to them. God's words weren't something that were tricky, that were trying to be misplaced or misread or whatever. God's word's pretty straightforward, isn't it? There's no gray areas. God's love is straightforward. There's no gray areas with that. So is God's judgment. It's straightforward. But they were reminded of all those things. Verse 17, it says, "So everyone returned from captivity to live in these shelters during the festival." What's that last part there? "And they were filled with great joy." They were filled with great joy because they had returned from the place that they found themselves in that was away from God. And they returned to God and found great joy. And so tonight, I want to ask you, do you need to return to God and find great joy in His strength? You see, there is joy in hearing the Word. You know, we read, we study, we look at it, but there's joy in hearing the Word, just like the nation found out. But there's greater joy in obeying it. Hearing it, you can read it, words can be imprinted on your mind, you can memorize them all day long, you can do whatever you want to do with them, but if you just find that hearing it's good enough and obeying it is not something that's important to you, then you're missing a huge part. The nation, they knew God's word, but they just didn't obey it. They didn't live it out in their lives. The identity that they found and what God has done for them was not the identity that they put forward. So I want to challenge you tonight that you find some joy in your life. Can you do that? Oh, man. Maybe this will be better. I'm going to challenge you tonight that you have gratitude in your heart for what God has done for you. That's a little bit better. Now, if you have gratitude in your heart for what God has done for you, then can you find joy in His strength? Yes. That's my prayer for myself, that I do that. As Sarah comes and She's going to play for us just a little bit tonight. I'm not going to ask y'all to stand. I'm not going to ask y'all to move around for the moment. But I just want y'all to take a moment with God. Just a moment with Him. If you need to come up here and take that moment, that's fine. If you need to stay right where you are and take that moment, that's fine. But for me, myself, I've had to take moments to find joy. I've had to take moments to find gratitude. Because that liar that Satan is, he will try to take it from you in every aspect of your life. At work, at home, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids. He'll even try to take it from you inside this building. And it's time as Christians that we stand up and we say, stop lying to us. Because my joy is found in the strength that God gives. And that's what I'm holding on to tonight. So we're going to take a moment as Sarah plays. Y'all bow your head.